It's the end of the two-party system as we know it.
This is an open primary seat for the Democrats. I love it. And we're going to have a strong Republican candidate on our side, and I love that even more. And if Senator Spector survives into the fall, get ready to go to the mat, baby.
Excuse me, GOP head Michael Steele is salivating over losing a Senate seat. Arlen Spector gets on the donkey in Pennsylvania, switching sides to run on the incumbency ticket. It's his party. We'll cry on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Wednesday, April 29th. We've got a crazy great show for you this morning. I'm John Hockenberry. Joining me now is Daljit Dhaliwal. Good morning, Daljit.
Good morning, John.
Coming up this hour, we're going to talk with several workers from Chrysler. What do they think about the deal with the federal government that may keep it in business? Epidemiologists are trying to learn more about swine flu. We'll figure out where this all began. And as I mentioned, Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter turns Democratic after 30 years in the GOP. What's the reaction from D.C. and Harrisburg? Those stories coming up. But first, some headlines. The number of swine flu cases around the world is rising. New cases reported today in Germany, but only Mexico has confirmed deaths, says K.G. Fukuda of the World Health Organization. Researchers don't know why.
We still do not have a good explanation for why the pattern of cases in other countries appear relatively mild, and while the pattern of cases in Mexico appear to be much more severe.
There's actually some confusion in Mexico over the number of deaths. Authorities are revising the number of confirmed deaths to 7, down from 20. Stricter tests are being applied to samples from deceased patients. Meanwhile, the number of suspected deaths has risen to 159. In the U.S., 64 confirmed cases now, with many coming from a New York City high school. New York City Health Commissioner Thomas Frieden says there were hundreds of other suspected cases as well, but all are mild.
Everyone is recovering or appears to be recovering, and perhaps the number of cases is coming down in more recent days, so the peak of the epidemic there or the outbreak there seems to have passed.
That school will remain closed all week. Meanwhile, President Obama is asking Congress for an additional $1.5 billion to help build drug stockpiles around the country. Daljit, it's a holiday today, right?
It certainly is. He'll take one. Right. And not for the president, though. And he incidentally kicks off his 100th day in office by meeting with Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter, who is joining the Democratic Party. They will appear together in about 2 hours from now, along with VP Joe Biden. Democrats, of course, are welcoming the congressional veteran who becomes their 59th vote in the Senate. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd plans to send another 450 troops to Afghanistan. He says that he was persuaded to do so during talks last week with President Obama, and the new troops will focus on training the Afghan National Army.
The Dow and S&P closed flat yesterday. The Dow kicks off today at 80.17. The S&P starts trading at 8.55. Looks like a flat opening this morning. Coming up in just about 2 hours, Senator Arlen Specter, Democratic Senator Arlen Specter, will be appearing with his new party mates, Barack Obama and Joe Biden. He gave the switch a lot of thought for political tactical reasons. So you give it some thought. What would it take for you to switch parties? As much as it took Arlen Specter, he waited 30 years. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. I'm John Hockenberry here with Daljit Dhaliwal. Good morning, Daljit.
Hello there.
So officials in the Obama administration have been negotiating with the leaders of Chrysler, Fiat, it's an Italian auto company in Turin, Italy, and the United Auto Workers Union here in the United States in an attempt to salvage Chrysler. A deal has been tentatively reached that gives all parties an ownership stake. Well, we shall see. UAW members are voting today to ratify the deal and the wage and benefit concessions in it. Joining us are two UAW members who will be heading out to vote today. Ken Mefford is an hourly worker in Chrysler's Warren plant in Michigan. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, sir.
And Stephanie Ramberger is a laid-off worker waiting to be put back to work. She joins us on the line from Kokomo, Indiana. Stephanie, thanks for being with us.
No, morning. Thank you.
So more negotiations, more concessions for you guys. Stephanie, how do you size up this vote, and have you made up your mind?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to vote yes.
And because... do you think that's the only way for you to get back to work?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you have any sort of promise that you will be going back to work if this deal goes through?
Oh, no promises. I'm just assuming if we get back to work and we make some transmissions that they're going to need more employees in there. So I'm just hoping right now.
Ken Mefford, I hear a little skepticism in Stephanie's voice. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm going to vote no just out of conscience. I mean, I'm hoping for the best, and I think it's basically our only hope. But I'm going to vote no just out of conscience.
Now, just describe to me what it is you've given up in this latest round and, you know, the cash value of it as far as the union is telling you.
Okay, I have it right in front of me.
Okay.
And basically, I can run through it real quick. And it's just, you're talking about giving up. I mean, some of it's kind of petty, like 6 minutes on break, which is no big deal. But when you're, holiday pay, you're giving up two paid holidays. That's, you know, it's a couple of $100 per holiday. Cost of living, which we've given up a couple of months ago, they're going to make semi-permanent, as in we're losing a dollar an hour for the next 2 years. That's $160 a month. Figure a dollar times 40 hours, and you're losing Christmas bonus. That's $600 for the next 2 years, which was right around $350 after taxes.
Well, it's real money. If it's real money, if you add up with all the employees, that's for sure.
3% this year that we're losing, 4% for next year. That right there, depending, would be somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000 this year, and then about a little, you know, and that extra percent next year. You're talking probably about a 10% pay cut, give or take.
All right. Now, Ken and Stephanie, either of you pipe in here. Do either of you know who's getting this money? Who's getting this savings? Who benefits from this exactly?
Basically the car companies, because that's just that much.
No, but you got to be more specific. Is it Fiat that's getting this money? Is it the federal government that gets this money because they paid in?
All the above.
All the above.
Basically anybody that's going to get a stake in the company.
All right. Well, Ken Mefford and the union, of course, will be getting a stake in the company. How much do you think that's worth?
Right. They're getting 55%, they said.
Right.
When this is said and done.
So, Stephanie Ramberger, any idea when you get back to work?
Nope. I have no clue. Just hope I have a job, so.
All right. We got one yes vote here from Stephanie Ramberger in Kokomo, Indiana, and Ken Mefford. That's a no vote, but more of a protest than an actual hope that this goes down. Ken Mefford is an hourly worker in Warren, Michigan. Ken and Stephanie,
right.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Can I say one
thing?
Yeah,
sure.
Quick?
Go ahead.
My one reason I'm giving a no vote is this. The last, and I think Stephanie will agree, this is like the last three or four contracts, and you're talking roughly 4 years per contract. Every vote, every contract for the last three, four contracts or more has been worse than the last. I'm just getting sick and tired of hearing, you know, well, we have to do it for the Daimler. You have to do it for the Siebers. You have to... You know, I'm getting sick and tired of the union coming by and saying, I don't like this, and yeah, it's a lousy contract, but you have to vote yes. Well, I want to hear the UAW and stuff say, hey, we like this contract. This is good for us and good for the company. Vote yes.
All right, you know, Ken.
I
hear you.
I've heard that in ages.
Let's put that directly to my next guest, and thanks to you both, Stephanie and Ken. Thaddeus McCotter is a Republican congressman from Michigan's 11th district west of Detroit. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, you hear a lot of skepticism and angst on the part of those two workers. I know they're not in your district, but any response?
Well, I think that they're justified, and this is precisely the cruel uncertainty of the situation we find ourselves in. We're nearing the end of a deadline from the administration. You've seen the UAW, you've seen the retirees, you've seen even some of the TARP banks come forward to try to make sure Chrysler avoids bankruptcy and can continue in a merger with Fiat. And yet, one of the problems that many people on both sides of the aisle have had is that when you put a 30-day deadline to do something as complex as a merger between two companies with all the outstanding parties that are involved, is that as you try to meet that deadline, there could be bumps in the road that are very difficult to overcome. And I think we're starting to see this out of some of the smaller secured creditors right now.
All right, Congressman McOtter, do you say, though, and will you say to me this morning that this is a deal to keep Chrysler in business?
We need to keep Chrysler in business.
No, does this deal keep Chrysler in business?
Do we have a deal yet? That is the problem. That is why there's still talk.
If this deal goes through, do you think it keeps Chrysler in business?
I think that it will. I think that the merger between Fiat and Chrysler is critical to keeping that entity operating and the workers that you've talked to employed.
All right, entity operating. Let me get into that for a minute. I mean, isn't this more like a fire sale of the government liquidating Chrysler to an Italian company in Turin?
Well, what you'd have to do is ask the administration what its profitability plan is for this, because they set the 30-day deadline with a bankruptcy at the end of it.
And well, I'll be happy to ask the administration that.
And when you talk to the, well, that's who's driving this.
Okay.
That's who's driving this. That's who's been driving this since the viability plans were rejected.
So do you not support this deal then? It sounded like you did support it a moment ago.
I continue to support keeping as many people employed in Michigan and in manufacturing as we possibly can.
But
and the alternative to not having this deal go through is a bankruptcy slash liquidation.
But it seems like we're already there in a liquidation. And again, I know it's the Obama administration that's driving this, but you have to represent constituents. I mean, the fate of Chrysler workers in your district is now over in Turin, Italy, if this goes through.
And what fate do they have if it doesn't?
Well, but the thing that concerns me is that you're going to say in the short term, as government officials, we're saving your jobs. But when the Berlusconi cronies over in Turin basically lay them off, then you're going to say, oh, that was Fiat.
Again, the administration determined that Chrysler was not viable as a standalone company. That's their determination. They set in place a 30-day deadline where they had to merge with Fiat or go into bankruptcy. As someone who represents these workers put in the same position, we had no option but a merger with Fiat or liquidation and bankruptcy, and they lose their jobs.
Then I wouldn't call that a deal. I'd call that extortion.
Then you can take that up with this administration, because many of us were very disappointed that they would demand that they would reject the viability plans of both GM and Chrysler, as they did earlier this year.
So do you actually see this as the government liquidating Chrysler to get out from under the question of who's responsible for these workers, and that decision is going to be made offshore?
The option that the administration has put in front of everyone is you will either have a Chrysler-Fiat merger or you will have a liquidation of Chrysler, period. And this is the policy paradigm in which we have all been put. And in that, there is no option for bankruptcy liquidation where everyone loses everything.
Well, listening to what you say, I'd be really scared if I'm a GM worker, because then the model for GM is a similar sort of liquidation where the government comes in, finances the stockholders and the bondholders out, like was done with Chrysler, and basically pieces of GM get sold off. Okay, we don't have Fiat here, but they'll find buyers. Is that what's going to happen with GM? You've got many more GM constituents in your district.
We don't know what's going to happen with Chrysler. You are operating on the assumption that the merger with Chrysler and Fiat results in an essentially a de facto liquidation. The UAW, Chrysler, and others in the administration would argue that you're looking at a potential $8 billion investment out of Fiat into North American operations with 4,000 jobs that would come along with it. So your premise may not match what the outcome of this merger would be if it can get done before the bankruptcy deadline.
All right, but who's going to control Chrysler when this is over with? It's going to be Fiat, and it's not going to be the UAW, and it's not going to be the Obama administration, right?
The merger would be between Chrysler and Fiat. Fiat, again, part of the problem with setting up a 30-day deadline for merger or for bankruptcy is they undercut the ability of Chrysler and the UAW, and in many ways, you know, the federal government, to try to negotiate to the point where you could have this entity be more mutually controlled
right.
by the parties.
Well, tough talk, and very, very difficult to see how these workers are going to survive. But as you say, if we do get to a deal, there is a window of hope. Thaddeus McOtter is a Republican congressman from Michigan's 11th district, just west of Detroit, speaking with us from Washington. Congressman, thanks so much.
Thanks.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253. lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.